Human Factors Design Concepts. If the term human factors design concept is understood to mean that there is a body of principles or data that dictate or specify a particular equipment configuration, the term is misleading. Human factors design concepts are principles based on empirical research that relate equipment characteristics to the human performance that results from these characteristics. Consequently, they apply to a variety of equipment and merely describe the limits or bounds within which a design is feasible, from the standpoint of the operator or maintainer only, of course. An overly simplified example would be the principle that specifies that the height of visual displays to a console to be operated by the seated human should not exceed a certain maximum. This requirement does not determine the particular displays to be included, their organization on the control panel, or how they are to be used. Rather, such principles serve as behavioral equipment criteria against which the design adequacy of any control panel can be evaluated. If we make a point of this, it is because some engineers may be wary of these principles for fear that they will restrict design creativity. The general impression most engineers have is that human factors design concepts are highly molecular, being concerned only with controls and displays. This is again an oversimplification. Most human factors design principles are fairly detailed, but many of them are quite molar. They relate not only to equipment, but also to operating and maintenance procedures, the arrangement of equipment within the work facility, the work environment, temperature, noise, illumination, etc., and to internal equipment components, that is, their arrangement. Moreover, they cover the entire range of equipment operated and maintained by men, from the system and subsystem through equipment and equipment components. The example cited above was an illustration of a human factors principle applied to the design of the individual equipment. However, MIL Standard, that's MIL-STD, 1472, dated 1969, which is the governing human engineering standard for all military equipment, and Woodson and Conover, 1964, the most widely known handbook of human factors design principles, contain principles that apply all the way from systems to component characteristics. Because of their range of application, these principles range from the relatively abstract, those applied to systems and subsystems, to the very concrete, those applied to components and component characteristics. It should be obvious that, just as one cannot apply an equipment design concept to a particular design problem without first analyzing the problem, so human factors concepts cannot be applied effectively without a similar human factors analysis. The heart of the human factors design activity, therefore, represents a way of analyzing the design problem in terms of the effect a proposed equipment will have on the user, and vice versa. To make use of these principles without first analyzing the design problem would result in ludicrous errors. The human factors design analysis, which accompanies, and in fact precedes, the application of human factors design concepts, consists of the following activities. 1. Examination of the design problem to determine relevant behavioral parameters. Again, an oversimplified example will illustrate. One must determine which behavioral functions the equipment will require. For example, perception of displays, motor operation of controls, decision-making, etc. It would be meaningless to apply a design concept related to perception when the operator's task is that of control manipulation. 2. Selection of the behavioral parameters to be applied to the particular design problem. For example, if the problem is one of determining which control panel layout principles should be selected, that is, arrangement of controls and displays by operating sequence, by common functions, by importance or frequency of use, it is necessary to examine what the operating sequence is, the functions common to various controls and displays, and relative importance and frequency of use of the individual controls and displays. 3. Evaluation of alternative potential design solutions against human factors design criteria. For every design problem, there is a range of possible solutions. For example, suppose that there are two possible control panel arrangements. It is necessary to determine which one is more efficient from a behavioral standpoint. Before going into the details of human factors design analysis, it would be helpful to examine the basic assumptions underlying these design principles. These are, first, the requirement to operate and maintain an equipment configuration imposes certain demands on the operator or maintainer for capability and skills, such as memory for the operating procedure, discrimination between similar displays, interpretation of information provided by the equipment, and so forth. Second, certain design and task situations are more appropriate, that is, less demanding of these capabilities and skills to the operator or maintainer than are others. Again, an oversimplified example. It is certainly easier to operate a single switch and indicator light combination than it is to operate 10 switches and 8 indicators. Third, the severity of the demands upon the operator or maintainer is increased when equipment design is inefficient from a behavioral standpoint, or when the operation or maintenance task or work environment contains stressful elements. For example, to read a multimeter under low illumination conditions is certainly more demanding than to read the same device under normal or brightly illuminated conditions. Fourth, when these demands exceed the operator's capabilities, his performance output is reduced and/or error is increased. To revert to the multimeter example, under low illumination conditions, the technician will either have to spend more time trying to read the meter, or if he maintains his usual speed, he will find himself reading scale values with many more inaccuracies. Fifth, human factors design concepts seek to minimize these demands, make them more compatible with human limitations, and thus to increase performance and reduce error. In the multimeter situation, for example, the human factors specialist would examine data he has regarding the illumination needed to perform perceptual tasks, like reading multimeters, and would tell the engineer that a certain amount of lighting must be installed in the work facility. Many factors act to stress the operator's capabilities. Among these, the most important are the requirements for the human to operate at high speed or at precise time intervals, to make decisions rapidly, to discriminate among many controls or displays having common characteristics, to remember a lengthy procedure, to perform with little or no feedback, to perform two or more tasks simultaneously, and to monitor displays for long time periods. Among the most common stressful factors of an equipment design type are those like locating controls far from the displays with which they must be operated, or crowding too many controls and displays together in the same panel space. The heart of the human factors design analysis consists of securing answers to several questions. 1. Given a system requirement which may be implemented, either by a man or machine component, could a human satisfy that requirement, assuming, of course, that he had the appropriate controls and displays to back up his work? 2. How well can the human perform this requirement in comparison with alternative, more automatic modes of performing the task? 3. What man-machine interfaces, most often controls and displays, but also such things as access spaces for maintenance functions, connectors and cabling, will be needed if the man is selected to do the job? These questions must be considered throughout system development, but at progressively more detailed stages of design. Questions 1 and 2, that is, can a man do the job? How well can he perform it? These can be asked at a rather gross level, such as whether a system should have a self-checking capability or rely solely on maintenance personnel, thus determining the degree of automation the system will have. They can also be asked about molecular details, such as whether a manual switch should be used in preference to a flip-flop circuit. As a consequence, in contrast to the mistaken impression that many engineers hold that human factors is useful only in detailed design, this type of analysis is needed throughout development. The three ways in which analysis answers the above questions have been termed A. Function allocation and verification, B. Task analysis, and C. Identification of man-machine interfaces. Function allocation and verification answers the first two questions we had before. Assume that there is a requirement to design a new sonar system. The system can be developed either to be largely automatic or largely manual. In the latter case, the sonar operator detects a target on his scope, analyzes the sound pattern, classifies it as submarine or non-submarine, and acts upon the decision. The equipment merely senses and displays the required information. In the automatic mode, the target detection and classification can be performed automatically by a computer which compares sound pattern intensities against a pre-established probabilistic criterion. The role of the operator here is merely to act upon or to override the computer decision. The selection of more effective systems should be based, in part only, of course, on human factors data about the adequacy of the human's performance. That is, how correctly and quickly can he detect and classify targets under various conditions, as compared with the system requirement for detection and classification, accuracy, and speed. The first question the human factors design analyst must answer is whether the human can do the job, and do it to system accuracy and speed requirements. In order to determine what the job is that the operator must perform, it will be necessary to describe the system configuration, including the controls and displays he will need to assist him in doing his job, since behavioral functions cannot be performed in the absence of equipment interfaces. Any behavioral function or task assumes that the function or task is being performed in relation to some physical, that is, equipment, object such as a control or a display. At the same time that the human factors analyst is determining operator capability to do the job, it is assumed that the equipment engineer will be simultaneously determining how efficiently the equipment in the system configurations can function. It is conceivable, for example, that even when the human factors analyst determines that the man can do the job and do it to system requirements, that automatic equipment can do the job more effectively. But to make this determination requires that prospective equipment must also be quantitatively analyzed in terms of systems requirements and efficiency. Function allocation and verification, therefore, consists of 1. Determining that in each of the possible design alternatives being considered, the human can do the job required by the system to system requirements. 2. Comparing the effectiveness of operator performance in one design configuration with his effectiveness in another design configuration or others. And 3. Selection of the more effective configuration. Of course, human capability to do the job is only one of the many criteria that must be considered in finally deciding upon an equipment configuration. Other factors which will probably be included as design criteria are cost, speed of performance, or reliability. The technique used to make a quantitative determination of human capability has generally been termed human reliability, to describe a predictive process which is essentially equivalent to equipment reliability prediction. See Meister's 1964 reference for a description of the technique. References will be given at the end of this report. Based on empirical data describing the performance of personnel in operating controls and displays, performing maintenance adjustments, and making decisions, a quantitative probability value is assigned to each task required to perform system functions. The individual task probability values are then combined multiplicatively, that is, according to the product rule, or else in terms of task dependencies. The total predictive value for the system represents an estimate of the likelihood of the operator performing the entire job under the equipment and task conditions involved in the configuration. When required human performance data are available, function allocation and verification reduces to a prediction of how well personnel will perform in operating alternative equipment configurations. Almost always, the design configuration selected is one which involves some degree of human functioning, since few systems are so automatic that they require no personnel operations. Because humans are involved in almost all systems, function allocation does not end the analytic process. The next stage of human factors design analysis is what is generally termed task analysis. This is essentially the same function as function allocation, except that the analysis is applied to much more molecular units of behavior, that is, tasks and subtasks. The tasks required of the operator in the system are analyzed to determine what man-machine components are needed, and more importantly, what their characteristics should be. For example, assume that the operator's task is to monitor temperature. The question is what device should be used to present the temperature information. This, in part, depends on whether the operator needs binary or continuous information. In the binary situation, the only information required is that the temperature is out of tolerance and some emergency action is required. For this type of information, a simple indicator which illuminates red for danger is all that is needed. If the operator is required to monitor progressive changes in temperature and make corresponding adjustments, he will need a meter. In this situation, if there is a definable threshold for the out-of-tolerance temperature, the scale on the meter should be color-coded. The essence of task analysis is therefore the determination of the implications of the task for equipment and equipment components, and the manner in which equipment components should be integrated. Most of the day-to-day design work performed by human factors specialists is done in identifying the characteristics that man-machine interfaces, that is, controls and displays, should possess. The number of principles that deal with this topic is so great that they cannot be listed here. In essence, they deal with the characteristic that controls and displays should have to maximize operator performance, how the controls and displays should be arranged, anthropometric, that is, physical body dimensions, limitations on design, maintainability characteristics, that is, access spaces, safety factors as they relate to personnel functioning, environmental factors, etc. MIL Standard 1472 possesses the most organized presentation of these principles. It is impossible to consider human factors design without thinking also of ways of evaluating designs from a human factors standpoint. Evaluation is inherent in design. The most common human factors evaluation methods utilize checklists and mock-ups, both of which can be used throughout system development. Checklists represent lists of desirable human factors design characteristics against which anticipated or actual equipment characteristics can be checked. Mock-ups are three-dimensional representations of the equipment, usually constructed by human factors specialists of wood or plastic, but occasionally constructed to serve as functioning prototypes. Subjects may be asked to perform tasks in the mock-up which they would ordinarily perform with the actual equipment. Their performance in these simulated tasks is measured in terms of time and errors, and design is evaluated as efficient if performance is satisfactory. Where performance is unsatisfactory, however, the nature of the inadequate performance is analyzed to point to the particular equipment characteristics leading to the performance. The types of human factors design analyses to be performed are specified for military equipment by MIL H46855. 1969. The characteristics the completed design should possess are described by MIL Standard 1472. These are the two primary documents imposed as requirements upon the design of military systems. In general, it can be said that the criteria in these documents present ideal situations to which equipment should be designed, but their effectiveness in controlling design in actual system development is somewhat limited. There are two reasons for this. First, the relatively qualitative nature of the human factors design analyses that can be performed, resulting from a limited database relating equipment characteristics to human performance. And second, reluctance on the part of engineers to include human factors design concepts in their design considerations, together with a lack of vigorous management support for these concepts, either by contractors or by the government. As a consequence, many designs contain one or more design inadequacies, as viewed from a human factors standpoint, some of which have severe consequences in terms of error and reduced performance. See Meister's 1971 book. The current status of human factors design concepts is that, although seriously lacking in supporting performance data, they can make substantial improvements to equipment design if conscientiously utilized by design engineers. This requires a serious effort on the part of engineers and managers to consider these concepts and to encourage the performance of the analyses on which they are based throughout system development. References for this report are Military Standard 1472, Human Engineering, Design Criteria for Military Systems, Equipment, and Facilities, published by Department of Defense, Washington, D.C., 1969. MIL H46855, Military Specifications, Human Engineering Requirements for Military Systems, Equipment, and Facilities, Department of Defense, Washington, D.C., 1969. D. Meister, Human Factors, Theory and Practice, to be published by John Wiley & Sons, 1971. D. Meister, Methods of Predicting Human Reliability in Man-Machine Systems, published in Human Factors, 1964, Volume 6, page 621. And finally, W. E. Woodson and D. W. Conover's book, Human Engineering Guide for Equipment Designer, University of California Press, Berkeley, California, 2nd edition, 1964. This report prepared by Dave Meister, Bunkeramo Corporation.
DATE, Dial Access Technical Education, is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list for this report, send a self-addressed stamped envelope and the title of the report to DATE, IEEE Headquarters, 345 East 47th Street, New York 10017.